Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How's it going, people? Welcome back to the channel and welcome back to the Forever Arsenal podcast. Hope everyone is all good and well out there. It's back to the Premier League. It's back to our predictions. You know what it is already. It's been a little while since we've had one of these ones. Prediction league table will be coming up shortly, much to Lee's joy. But Lee, you're in the festive spirit already, yeah?
You bastards. You absolute... I am fuming. You told me... Right, it's to get all on Christmas jumpers and get everything there. I've got it all on. I'll come on and all three of you ain't. And I'll tell you what's bang out of order about this. I haven't got a Christmas jumper. Oh, James. Oh, I'll send you one so you have one for the show. Like, I'll get all festive up and all three of you have stitched me up. Again, I feel bullied. I feel bullied. Like, you know what I mean?
To be fair to Lee, you are right. We totally forgot. We have failed. You have succeeded and you've done your bit. Fair play to you. Fair play.
Listen, my main target on these eight games.
I feel like Bill and Rodney when they come up in the Batman and Robin to the funeral now. Thank you very much, guys. You know what I mean?
And we're actually all wearing black as well, apart from you, obviously. But it's not like the complete opposite.
I mean, it's quite funny.
When I come on, I thought you'd done it deliberately. You swore, that's why I went in at one, didn't I? Like, but like... You all forgot like that, mate. So
you look like a right Christmas wanger at the moment,
Ian. Oh, I've got to have to try and wang it then, and I like it. Ho, ho, ho.
But yeah, you know the backstory to that one, people. Lee is right. We was all meant to do a little something, but like I said, these 8 a.m. streams, my main focus is getting here on time before these that throw me under the bus.
Getting here on time, getting here at all, I think that's your main focus.
Well, I'm here half an hour early. I messaged the WhatsApp group, you know, so this time we'll bang on time. But James, nice holiday.
Yeah, good 3 days away in Italy. Good to be back. I mean, it was weird watching, sort of as I landed, Liverpool City kicked off. Had a quick look at the 11s, not really expecting much. Thought, okay, they're going quite strong, these teams. So it was nice to see a little bit of club football. I'm sure we'll touch on that. But, you know, yeah, just getting ready for the Premier League now. Looking forward to Christmas and that's that. And then a new year, obviously what the Arteta doctor talk about. So even without you know, Arsenal actually playing any competitive games, apart from the mighty 0-0 draw with Luton, there's still always plenty to chat about. So I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah, we will. Yeah, we've got the game coming up and we tend to kind of end the show with that and give our thoughts on the lineups and all and predictions and all. We've got the Arteta interview on Sky Sports, albeit just part one. Because part two hasn't come out yet, but there's a lot to take from that. We'll get our thoughts on it. But first and foremost, off the back of the World Cup, and no, we're not going to get into World Cup talk again, people. I know everyone's bored of it now and it's time to move on to Premier League. But Emi Martinez has been, not necessarily in the headlines, but he's been a talking point on Twitter and online and amongst the fan bases and so on due to some actions, I'd say, off the back of the World Cup win and maybe... below the belt banter, you could call it. I don't know if you want to call it that, but yeah, using Mbappe's face on a door and, you know, not being that much of a graceful winner. Listen, on the pitch, I don't mind it at all. I love a bit of that shithousery on the pitch. I just think afterwards, just enjoy the moment for what it is, not kind of go at the young player that scored four against you, that actually plays with your best player, your captain. You know, it puts Messi in a bit of an awkward situation, in my honest opinion. But let me get your thoughts on it first and foremost. I don't know who wants to kick off with it. If anyone has thoughts on it, Maybe we just move on from it. If not, but yeah, Emi Martinez.
Who wants to take it? I know. I mean, it's interesting. We were kind of talking about it off screen. We had slightly different thoughts. I mean, just to give mine super quickly, you said it perfectly there, Turkish. It's the on-field. I don't mind. Like, ultimately, do what you want to gain an advantage. That's why you have referees and officials. They're there to ensure that it doesn't go over the top and punish you if anything does. So I don't mind the antics. Listen, I don't think they're particularly great to watch. But in a penalty shootout, you're throwing the ball away, you're dancing when you save a pen. If all these little things are giving you a slight mental edge over the opposition, that is so great. That is fine, you know, by all means. And I think that is part of what makes him so imposing in a penalty shootout. And also, let's not pretend he didn't turn up in that final for Argentina. He was unbelievable, not just in the penalties, that save at the end. And I think largely he's a character that thrives in that kind of pressure. And I think they would have benefited from that massively. I think the Mbappe thing's a little classless. I sort of asked Twitter why it was, and you know, the best reason people could give me was that Mbappe had said something about Europe being, your European nations being better placed to win a World Cup than South American nations. But I didn't really see too much around that. Just some people sent me the quotes, so I don't know whether that's what's got to him. I think with Martinez, I think he's on the one hand got an elite mentality in that he really thrives on the big occasion. We saw that in the FA Cup for us and Community Shield and definitely the World Cup final. But I do just feel a little bit like when I watched his interview after the Netherlands game and he was talking about the world's against us, blah, 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 the officiating's against us. And I just thought, you know, it's kind of the opposite. Everyone wants Messi to win it. And I think he lives, it might be a part of what he says to himself to drive him to be even better and more motivated in games. But he definitely has this complex about him, this like, you know, it's, you know, everyone's against me. It's all, you know, it's never my fault and everyone's against me and I got to fight against the world kind of thing. And again, if it's part of how he drives himself to be better, then fine. But ultimately, whether I think he's got a point or not, I ultimately don't. I don't think everyone was against Argentina at all. And I don't really think it's a particularly great look. That's my opinion. I'm quite happy. I'm very happy we've got Ramsdale over him. That's nothing to do with judging them as goalkeepers. I think there's more to it in terms of what Ramsdale offers on the ball and his personality as well. You know, I love Aaron Ramsdale, and that debate was popping up a little bit online. But listen, you do you. Congrats on the World Cup win. But yeah, there's stuff that I just didn't think looked particularly great, in my opinion.
Yeah, Jordan Lee, any thoughts on it?
Yeah, like, listen, I agree with everything James has said there about him what he's done and certain things and his antics and all that. I don't agree with at times and all that, like, but this hate for him because, you know, he left Arsenal and everything like that. I ain't got no hate that he left Arsenal. I feel that, you know, he was mistreated at Arsenal at the end of the day. I think he was left Arsenal, I think, more on financial reasons than footballing reasons. He'd waited 8 years to get the opportunity, got the opportunity, took it by both hands, pardon the punt, and then was left out for footballing reasons for Leno, which I don't think was the right decision. I do agree with what James is saying there. If you wanted me to have a choice between Ramsdale and Martinez, I would have Ramsdale every day of the week. It doesn't mean, because he's a World Cup winner, it doesn't mean to say he's a better goalkeeper. You know, Lloris is a World Cup winner, for Christ's sake. You know what I mean? Like, so at the end of it, I don't see what listen, when he comes down to Aston Villa and they go, Emil, what's the score and all that when we've beaten him? Oh, I'm quite happy to join in that because that's football banter and everything like that. But I understand that he's bitter that he left Arsenal because, you know, I think it wasn't the right decision for footballing reasons. But it's happened and I don't really dislike him. And, you know, some of my mates, by the way, detest him. Going to games like that. Yeah, why? You know, I don't get that. But it's all to their own, isn't it? Like, but I don't agree with some of the answers. Certainly the Mbappe thing. I think really like Mbappe. it just banged him three goals past him, by the way. You know what I mean? So, yeah. You know, sometimes I think you should keep your mouth shut and enjoy the moment for what it is. And putting the thing with the baby thing, I think is very, very disrespectful to a very, very good player.
Yeah, player Messi has to go back to and play with and try and achieve something this season. It's just
all right, they fall out.
Yeah. Jordan? Yeah, that would be.
Yeah, I got some thoughts. I don't agree with a lot of what was just said there.
Surprise, surprise.
Not to be contrary. I just. So going back to when he left Arsenal, I was one of the few people that actually didn't have a problem with it. I thought he was playing really well for Arsenal. I thought he had a justifiable claim to be Arsenal's number one. But people forget that Leno was our number one and was relatively reliable. And to sell your number one goalkeeper, who's done a reliable job, for a guy that's had a really good 6 months, I think in hindsight, if it had gone the other way around, would have been seen as insane. You stick with the guy that's reliable, not the guy that's come in for 6 months and done really, really, really well. So I agree with that, but I understood why the club sold Martinez and backed Leno. Why would you? I just think it sends a wrong message if you just sell the guy that you've relied on for 2 years for a guy that's been there for 6 years, not broken in, and had a really good 6 month period, and then you're backing him. So I didn't have a problem per se with selling Martinez. The second thing, I have no problem with Martinez's antics on the pitch. All the dancing, all the putting. Listen, goalkeepers in a penalty shootout are at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
The striker or the taker is the favourite to come out victorious. The goalkeeper is reacting to the shot. So if you and strikers do that whole hop, skip, stop, no,
yeah,
they do that. So why can't goalkeepers on the line do find any advantage that they can find? I have no problem at all with Martinez doing what he did. I do have a problem with how he's conducted himself since they've won the World Cup. I would go beyond to say it's beyond classless. I would go as far to say that baby with the thing around his head and the totem pole thing, that for me, I'm not going to lie, that brought up Jim Crow KKK vibes. It did. It did that for black people 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago in America. I thought it was disgusting. I'm not saying that he is racist. I'm saying it brought up KKK and Jim Crow vibes, as far as I'm concerned. You just won a World Cup. Why the hell is your focus Mbappe? James is right. Mbappe said some stuff about South American football and South American nations not being able to win a World Cup. Cool. In an interview, you may say, Mbappe, what are you saying now? Or a little post that says, Mbappe, where's your second World Cup? I don't know. I don't know. But that for me was way, way too far. Way too far for me. And Lee says that he's an idiot. Pickle, not an idiot, but that he's silly because he let in 3 goals for Mbappe. It was actually 4.
Yeah, penalty as well.
It's caught past 4 times. And another reason why Martinez is an idiot, because football's a very, very short game. It won't be long before Argentina and France play again. Yeah, you're laughing now, but Mbappe, trust me, he will have the last laugh. So I just thought it was beyond classes. I thought it was unnecessary. And I actually think that they won't. But the FA in Argentina should actually reprimand him for that, because at your highest moment in your career, why is your focus on Mbappe? You've got 4 million people. Those scenes were insane on the streets of Argentina and Buenos Aires. Why is your focus on Mbappe? Why would you? For me, if I had any respect for him at all, it completely went after that. And I think that he needs to be very, very careful about doing those sorts of things and shooting at people like Mbappe, because, bro, you play for Aston Villa. So just remember your day to day, you play for Villa. Mbappe is a bad boy. Mbappe is the next king of the sport. So just show a little bit of class and a bit of respect. And I don't think he did that in anything he did after that World Cup victory.
Yeah, Mbappe will probably have the last laugh. And you consider his day-to-day is Aston Villa. It's like back to life, back to reality after
Humble
that
yourself,
World Cup.
Bro. Humble yourself. You know
he
what I
did
mean?
Also, he left with a lot of love from Arsenal. That was the one, Lee, I thought you made a lot of brilliant points. But that was the one bit I did disagree with. The, Arsenal fans hating that he left or all that. I don't think they did. I think Arsenal fans largely understood that we had 2 very good goalkeepers. Yeah. One had to go. Leno was injured, so we weren't going to command a particularly great fee for him, even if he was. I mean, what's a goalkeeper of Leno's quality even then worth? 20, 30 million? He went for 20. It was even shorter than 6 months, Jordan. I think it was like... Because it was lockdown, wasn't it? I mean, probably like
it was like 4 months,
something like that, right?
Yeah,
and he did brilliantly. And I was with you. I was kind of like, this guy might be good enough to be our number one. You know, I thought his distribution was better. I thought he had more of a commanding presence. But I was very happy with what I've seen. But I think the Arsenal fans were. I remember them saying to Villa fans, like, you know, look after him for us. You know, you got a top one, you know, and kind of rooting for him. And that's why I haven't really appreciated some of the interviews. It has been a while since he's spoken about us. So trying to
recall the thing. You're right.
Everything he said. You know, some might say it wasn't. You know,
did right.
But looking back, I just remember the amount of stuff. And again, look, if he was asked things in interviews, he's got absolutely every right to answer them. But I just thought, oh, come on, we really wish you a lot of love and luck in the future when you left. And it felt like there was this kind of animosity being driven. And in fairness, Arsenal fans, I think, have fueled that in a really good way by making it toxic for him when he comes to the Emirates. Me and you were at Villa Park Turkish as well. And we beat them 1-0 and we gave him a lot there. And listen, that's the side of football I love. Football needs that kind of heat and spice a little bit and that kind of stuff. It does. And it does lack it. But there is a line. There is a
100%. I totally agree with what you've been saying there, James. I think that he did leave on good from the Arsenal fans. We all let sort of thought, yeah, great. You know, it was then he came out in an interview and he dissed Arsenal a little bit, didn't he? Like, but what I'm saying is, I understand his frustration at that moment in time. He was probably like, you know, I've been here all that time trying to get my chance at Arsenal. And I think if you look at it, I look at it from his point of view. You know, you've been trying for 8 years to play for Arsenal. It's, you know, the pinnacle for someone like myself. And then, you know, oh, we're going to sell you. I felt was a little bit harsh on him. But he didn't conduct himself very, very well then when he left and said those things. And to be honest, he's not learned his lesson, has he? Because he's carried it on now to where he is now. So at the end of it, we all move on. And I'll tell you what, Aston Villa have never been like one of those fiery games for us, but it is now. You know, we need to beat them every time now because of that. So that enhances our games now, like, you know. Yeah. So keeps our focus and as fans and as players. So it ain't a bad thing all around, like, you know.
It is. You're right. It's a new rivalry, Villa, isn't it? Because of the stuff, the Smith Rowe bid, the rejected Douglas Luiz bid. There was something else. I can't remember. I think they got Buendia over us.
Yeah, and of course, Emery's there now. Like,
Emery's
there. Oh, I'll tell you what, Villa Parks, that's going to be a big one.
Yeah, do you know what? Like, with that Villa Park game now, like, you know, you say, oh, Aston Villa, it's just Aston Villa. It's an all game. Now, all of a sudden, oh, that'd be good. Can't lose to them now. There's a rivalry because of it, like, you know. But I honestly think the Martinez won't be there much longer. I think, like, Manchester United may be coming in for him, or I think there's rumours at Bayern Munich. I think he'll go to a bigger club.
And my girlfriend's brothers are Villa fans.
There you go. These are all the things that matter.
Yeah, that's what everyone's really worried about. So fair enough.
Let's not. What did you say, Lee?
Why didn't you mention that one first? You know what I mean? Like, you know, well, that was the main one.
It's just, yeah.
Fluffy pillars and, you know, your girlfriend's Aston Villa fan, like, you know, there you go.
No, she's an Arsenal fan.
Oh, did I miss that, did I?
No, they're Villa fans. By the way, I don't know if she is an Arsenal fan. I'm forcing her to be.
Oh, I bet she's
a Villa fan. By default. Listen,
Grealish. I know he's gone to Man City now, but, you know, she wanted you to make your ear like Jack Grealish. Get the OAS band in.
Never. Not a chance of it. Anyway.
We won't dwell on Martinez too long because I think we've given him more than enough time already, considering he's not an Arsenal player anymore. But like I said, he was much talked about after that World Cup win and his lack of focus on the win itself and more so on Mbappe. But we'll move because we've got a lot to talk about. And before we go on to West Ham, has everyone watched the Arteta interview, Sky Sports, part one?
I caught part one, but did they air part two on Sky? I was out of the country. Did they?
I haven't seen part two.
Oh, no, I haven't seen part two. But I've seen lots of quotes. It must have been shown somewhere. Have you seen it, Jordan?
I just want to say, I watched the whole interview, not the highlights. I saw the whole 19 minutes, 20 seconds. Yeah? All right. Okay. I just want to let everyone know.
Stand innovation.
I don't watch the football, but the interviews, I'm all in.
Ready to pick them apart, Jordan. Ready to pick them apart.
The journalists in him don't watch the games, but watches the interviews. You know what I mean?
Reads the match reports.
Makes sense. Lee, you watched it, obviously.
Yeah, I watched it. Very, very interested. Really, really good. I think that Mikel's always come over really well with the press and all that. Like, really enjoyed it. But, I'm going to say a but, I just felt a little bit, bit early this, isn't it? Like 14 games, top of the league. Our Sky building him up to knock him down. I was a little bit wary of that, you know. And then when I'm thinking, well, it's only 14 games, you ain't achieved nothing yet. I would have liked that interview to come in a bit later. Say another 10 games down the line with still top of the league and Eddie up front. I would have liked a little bit more. I just felt a little bit uneasy by that. But I thought it was a really, really good insight and interview. And I think even when things were going wrong and with Mikel Arteta, he's always been a classy guy. Always been classy, whether you thought he should be manager or not. I think that has come across really, really well. Timing, I'm not so sure about.
Yeah, I know what Lee means in terms of Sky building him up to eventually either, you know, batter him at the end of the season if he doesn't achieve what it seems like we can achieve. And I'm not saying a title win by that, but I mean, you know, being in and around the conversation and finishing comfortably in top four. But I like the interview. I mean,
hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Something I've always liked from Mikel from the start is the way he speaks and what he says and how he says it. And, you know, 99% of the time I've agreed with him. It just tends to be when he says the Kroenkes are backing him and so on that I've been a bit hesitant to agree. But as we've seen in transfer windows, I guess there's a very strong argument that they have backed him. I'll pick out January last year as a window to say otherwise. But everyone can use the other windows to prove their case. So I understand that. But in terms of speaking well, honest and open, like, you know, when he was asked about Oba, we just mentioned Martinez. I forget that Martinez is one of the players he had to deal with over his time. Guendouzi, Mesut Ozil, probably a handful of players when he was asked about Oba in particular. He said, there were several players over my time that I had to kind of deal with in a sense. And he said, when you're in a process and you want to go faster and there's players, you know, holding that down, you know, weighing that down, you've got to make decisions. And I actually like that a lot because it is the truth. It was more of an insight into how he feels about having dealt with these players like Guendouzi, like Aubameyang. So that part in particular, I liked all round. I liked the interview. I'm waiting for part two. I want to see more of it. But I'm also with Lee, 14 games in. It is quite early, but we'll see. All we can do is we'll see. I mean, when All or Nothing was announced, I thought the same thing. I thought, what is this club doing? Is this club ready to have a behind-the-scenes documentary and insight into everything Arsenal? And we came out of the back end of it, not with flying colours. We didn't finish top four, but much more a positive than a negative. So I'm going to look at this way, this one in the same manner.
On this one, I actually do agree with Lee as well. I think the timing is interesting. I would have rather this interview happened 5-10 games from now as well. We're not even halfway through the season yet. And it does kind of have vibes of, you know, Arsenal being built up to, you know, for a crash ending. I get why Sky would want this interview. The biggest story in the league right now is that Arsenal are top of the league, and Sky, as a sports broadcaster, would want to interview the manager of the team top of the league. I don't think Arsenal are unique in that sense. I think if it was Brighton that were top now, they would go for, you know, their manager. If it was whoever's top of the league right now, I think they'd want that interview going into Christmas. So I get why it makes sense for Sky. But I remember someone saying once, I forgot who it was, years ago, that when managers do interviews and press conferences, they're speaking to one of, if not all three types of people: the players, the boards, the media. They want to get a message to one of those three groups of people. And my watching this interview, I thought it was a good interview. I thought he said, as he always does, all the right things. But my thinking was, I know what Sky get out of this, but what does Mikel Arteta get out of this? And I think the only thing I could think that he thought he may be getting out of this was maybe ramping up a little bit of pressure onto the board at a time when I think he thinks he can win the league. I think now that Mikel Arteta believes I can win this league, but I just need some help. And I wonder if the interview was like a subtle and a very polite on the door of the board to say, come on, guys, like, World Cup's over. We got a bad injury to arguably our best player. Help me out here to kind of really kick on and get this job done. I think it might have also been a message to the players to say, look, this has been part of a plan. And he kind of alluded to the fact that they're a year ahead of schedule. So while they have an opportunity now, grab it and let's go. So I thought it was a good interview overall. I would have liked it, like I said, to have happened after Christmas, even into January. But I can only guess that he did the interview because he wanted to get a message upstairs to say, come on, guys, like, I believe I can do this. Just give me a little bit of help.
There's a couple of quotes outside of that interview that I've read over the last couple of days that make me agree with you. And he was asked about Martinelli, kind of, you know, insinuated that Martinelli's best deployed off the left. He wants him running at the wingers, and that's Martinelli's best position. He said that Jesus is irreplaceable. And he also mentioned that the transfer window is an option. And then I've seen a quote, I saw it on AFTV's Instagram, actually, but apparently it's a direct quote from Arteta saying, we're not in a position yet we're not in a position not to maximize every transfer window. And I remember he said that at the beginning of last January, we need to maximize every window to get to and keep up with the big boys. So those two comments in particular, transfer window is an option, and having to maximize the window yet again, I feel like it is, you know, a little message to the board saying, listen, I know it's tight, I know you've backed me already, but I'm doing my job, you do your job. And by that, I also mean manipulate the system. If you need to pull out some money out of nowhere, do it the same way these other clubs do it.
He shouldn't have to be doing that, though. That's my worry about that, because you've only got, if you know what you know, we go into the game against West Ham, by the way, with no striker on the bench. Now, that to me isn't, you know, you can't have those two. I look at the Man City game yesterday with Liverpool. Look at the players Manchester City are bringing on in that game. That's what we're competing against. So it's you know, and we're actually now competing it with no backup striker, no one to come on. You know what I mean? If we're 1-0 down, who's coming on to turn that game around? Like, you know, and I think that at the moment he's right what we're saying. You know, when remember when we was like winning titles and things like that, it was like, oh, maybe just one player just to come in, just to keep the things ticking away. Like, you know, at the moment, I think if we all put our hands up now, how many players do you think we need in January? It's three or more. So I think he's. He knows, and I think that, you know, maybe he's covering himself a little bit by saying, look, I was telling you in that interview we needed players and the ball didn't go, I don't know. But I feel that they've got a good relationship now. So I think that, I do think that the club will back him. And I'm going to say this now, like, you know, I don't care whether we're a year in front, 2 years in front, this is here and now. This is the best opportunity to win a league, because what I'm seeing with Manchester City at the moment, this isn't the Man City of a year ago, 2 years ago. I see vulnerability in them. I watched them yesterday. Like, you know, Liverpool scored two goals. They could have had five. I haven't seen that from Man City for a few seasons. They've like brushed teams aside. But there's a little bit, I'm not saying that I think it's an issue that they'll probably get right towards the end of the season, but there is a vulnerability with Manchester City. I'm not scared of Manchester City like I was a couple of years ago. I'm not like thinking, wow, they're going to come and beat us easily 3 or 4. You know, like when we played them in the League Cup, you know, that we never laid a glove on them. We never laid a glove on them 2-3 days later in the league when it was freezing cold. I felt New Year's Day last season, nearly a year ago, we put more than a glove on them and unfortunately lost the game, but we competed with them. I think that we can challenge them, but we've got he and us as fans, we've got to have the right tools going into that thing. Now, we ain't going to have as many. You know, somebody said to me, oh, well, Haaland, what happens if he gets injured? Well, their backup's a World Cup winner. You know what I mean? That's the difference. So we've got to have this mentality now, like, of, no, I'm not worried about next year. Because, you know, do you know, as my good granddad said, tomorrow never comes, guys. Never comes. You know what I mean? So don't think about what's going to happen to you. Make it happen now. And we've got an opportunity. We're 5 points clear at the top of the Premier League. We're not 5 points behind a year later. If we're 5 points behind this time next year, are we going to win the league? No, we're not. You know what I mean? Like, take it with both hands now. And that means January, get some business done.
So they are in somewhat of a transition, Manchester City. I know when it comes to Arsenal and these transition, is transition the right word? Is that the word that's always used? I think it is.
I think so, yeah. That is the word they use, but I'd agree that City are in some kind of transition. Yeah.
It's just that their one, you know, is about their transitions take a year. Ours tends to take 3 to 5 years. So I'm looking at them this season and Sterling out the door, bringing in a proper number nine for the first time since Aguero left. Zinchenko and Jesus, vital components to the squad, I'd say. You know, this summer they've gone through an awful lot of change, and that's kind of shown in their league performances. Haaland's hit the ground running. But all round, there is doubts there whether, you know, without Haaland, can they live up to it? Yes, Alvarez stepped in for Argentina and done his thing and you know, got 4 goals at a World Cup and a World Cup winner's medal. So I'm sure he's on a high and ready to push Haaland. But I think it is a massive opportunity for us. There's no guarantee that we're going to be in this position or in a better position this time next year. So I'm with Arteta. Whether, you know, he mentions we're ahead of the process. I think... Jamie asked something about it, and he said ahead, and that was his answer to that. But at the same time, Lee's right. It's here and now, and there's a massive opportunity. 5 points, 5 point clear. Yes, it's early days. It's only 14 games, but we can do something this season. I'm not saying, you know, go you know, win the league and or that's it. What I'm saying is make sure that we at least are in the conversation towards the end of the season, top two, top three, worst case after this great start. Otherwise, the great start will be quickly forgotten. And I think when you look at players, we mentioned this, I think, James, we mentioned this, when players are looking at Arsenal now in this January window, it's probably the best Arsenal outside looking in any window for the last 5 years minimum.
Yeah. And we also touched on, I think it was on a live show, we touched on sort of Arsenal and their brand a little bit changing the last 3-4 years. The young squad with the young manager giving Haaland players a chance, playing really good football. You know, we mentioned, you know, rappers mentioning Arsenal in their songs and Logan Paul and KSI in their stuff. You know, there's all this stuff that has made Arsenal, you know, while it retains its traditions and values, and how often does Arteta talk about that? It's become also a club that, you know, people are wearing their Adidas Arsenal shirts, the black and gold with pride or whatever kit comes out. Everyone is, I see them on the streets and, you know, Arsenal look good and they feel good and all these things. I think the brand, yeah, I think that's a part of why they wanted the interview with Arteta. I think Arteta's also become like, I think it's too early to say this because, as you said, it's only 14 games in, but I think people are quite confident that actually he is the really impressive up-and-coming young manager that people like Pochettino and Guardiola 3 years ago felt he was and would be. And so I think generally he's just very interesting to listen to. I think, you know, Sky got themselves a really interesting interview. You know, the stuff with Pep I found very interesting. But I think also, yeah, I Jordan asked what it does for us. And I think ultimately it's more that transfer message. I think that is the big thing. It's getting insight into how he feels where we are with everything, 14 games in. But I liked it. I'm looking forward to part two. I saw some quotes about Granit Xhaka and how he said to him, guys, I haven't seen this. So I'm very much just the source is Twitter. Jordan, I think, and I don't know if you saw it in this bit, if it was someone else. I think he said he needed a goal-scoring number 8, and he told Xhaka, you got to be that or I'm going to sign one. And he came back slimmer and apparently, you know, sort of adapted to it very quickly. That's fascinating insight. I love that. Because no secret, you know, that's not giving away secrets. You know, Graham Potter's not sitting there going, oh, he's playing box of boxes. I didn't know that. I know, you know, bloody, we talk about it on Tactical Insight. But it's very interesting hearing how that came about because fans understand their stuff. And we kind of saw that Xhaka was playing this new role. And now we know why. I really like that kind of stuff. So lots I liked. Yeah, I feel that sense that maybe a little early, but ultimately, I think it was a really good interview. And I like that it was conducted by Carragher. I think Carragher's always had a real kind of respect for Arteta. Even in his times of criticism for Arsenal, I think he's always recognised what Arteta's trying to do. And I enjoyed the dynamic between them two. I did think it was good.
Yeah. And Jordan, did you want to say something? Or
just briefly in the sense of I thought that I liked the fact that he spoke about the plan and the fact that how he kind of semi-mapped out his career from the moment he retired at Arsenal. It sounds like what he said. Pep tapped him up while he was still playing, was saying, you know, I know you're doing your badges. I'd love you to come and work with me. And the fact that he was kind of using Arteta as like a bit of a sounding board knowledge type thing, if you like, of English football. And how he spoke about, you know, Pep was always told, you can't play tiki-taka in this league. And Pep was like, watch me, watch me. And the fact that he's adapted and now everyone's trying to play the way that Pep plays at Barcelona shows his influence on the league. And Arteta was clearly an integral part in that. And just, he says, understanding referees, how you referee in La Liga is different to Ligue 1, which is different to Serie A, different to the Premier League. And understanding what you can get away with, what you can't get away with, you know, where are the away grounds to watch out for, right? When you go to Stoke, trust me, prepare for it. When you go to Everton, the fans are on top. When you go to, do you know what I mean? And Arteta was the guy that kind of helped him in that sense. And him talking about his first job being a big job at Arsenal, there's definitely privilege there. I wanted him at Arsenal from the get-go, but you can't deny it. For your first job to be Arsenal, that is massive privilege. But he's talking about how he had a plan and he presented the plan to the board and it seems now it's coming to fruition. And I always kind of saw and believed there was a plan. So no, he spoke really well and there were things in there that I knew already, I think we all knew, but I just think hearing him say it was interesting. My focus now is what now? As Lee says, there's a chance this season to do something special. How do we kick on from here on in to ensure the World Cup doesn't become an excuse for our falling off on form and Jesus being out doesn't mean our season ends up terminal.
So just very quickly, there was a very interesting insight into kind of his influences in football. And he was asked, you know, what his style is and he talked about Johan Cruyff and stuff. But it kind of got me thinking because for a long time, we've kind of compared him to Pep a lot. And there are undoubtedly similarities. But when you kind of were hearing him talk about his journey in football and the managers he's played under, things he's done, I think you can see a little bit of that in kind of a little bit of everything in his team. I think sometimes the passing combinations by Arsenal feel very Wenger. You know, the sort of quite condensed, quick 1-2 passes. You know, he was playing in a midfield that did that at times. Didn't win a lot. Well, an FA Cup or two. But ultimately, it was brilliant to watch. And he was at the heart of that sometimes. But then on the other hand, you've got the positional play very much influenced by Guardiola. I think the importance of set pieces, I mean, City are very good at them, but you could say that maybe his time at Everton with Moyes might have been an influence on that side. I think you can see in his teams where he's taken a lot of learnings from everywhere, you know, being pragmatic at first to get over the line with the FA Cup. So it helped me understand him even more. And that's all I really want from these things. Coming away from it going, I learned something. You conducted yourself well. You sent a good message. Boom. And I feel very proud to have him as Arsenal manager right now. Like I do. When he shows up to do something and he's in the media and he's representing Arsenal, I have total trust that he's going to come out of it looking good. And I like that. And I do think that's important.
I think you're dead right. And what he's done is he has brought Arsenal as a fan base together as well. Like, you know, I think he doesn't get enough credit for that. Doesn't get enough credit for that. That it was a very, very fractured fan base to start with. It then was fractured by his poor performances and things like that. But somehow he won a lot of fans, like, you know, I was saying that he probably should have been sacked at the time. Would I want him sacked now? No. So he's turned that around. So, you know, you have to give this man credit for that. Like, you know, I was very fortunate enough to meet him a little while, like, not this year, last year against Wolves. And you just think, wow, what a guy. You know what I mean? You can't help but dislike him. You know, when you went, sometimes you don't really want to meet someone like that because you want to be critical to him.
You mean like
him?
Huh? You can't help but like him.
Yeah, you can't help but like him. And, yeah, you think like to yourself, well, I don't know how I can criticise you now. Like, you know, more, and I actually felt bad that I had criticised him. You know what I mean? That's how it does to you, like, you know. But I think that he that's the thing that he has to take a lot of credit for, like, you know. And I'll tell you what he has to take a lot of credit for is that when we lost to Manchester United, I didn't see Arsenal fans losing their stuff about it. When we lost to Brighton, I didn't see Arsenal fans, because there's a trust now, there's a belief in this man, you know what I mean? Like, you can believe in him a little bit more. And I think that's to do with the team as well. You've got a thing now where I certainly have, where I'm loving the Arsenal players. So if they do let me down, which they will do at some part of the season, I'm forgiving. You know what I mean? There was a time when I wasn't forgiving. You know what I mean? Like, you know, for him to do that, I think is a massive, massive thing, and big credit to him for doing that.
Yeah, I think Lee, you just said that. Sorry, just I'll shut up. I promise in a second. I won't, but I'll try to. But Lee just briefly says there that he felt really bad sometimes about criticising Mikel Arteta. You guys know that I'm a big fan of Mikel Arteta, always have been. But the times when Lee was critical, I think it was fair. There were times last season where we had runs of performances and games where it wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough. And I think the criticism that you guys gave him, and I, off the Everton game, I remember that Everton game in particular, I was fuming. I thought that even that was the first game where I thought, maybe this guy isn't the guy. And I thought that the criticism at that point was fair. You know, he's doing a really good job overall. We're on the right trajectory, but let's not pretend like there haven't been failings. Now, when you get better, there are going to be failings. You're going to have to learn from losses and learn from mistakes. And those times where I think it was justified to be critical of him.
Do you know what? That's a great point that Jordan says there. And I'll tell you, that is where that documentary has come in really well and helped out me, because I was fuming that day as well, like, you know what I mean? But so was he. When he wrote back onto that, he come in and said, I told you what was going to happen if you didn't pull up your feet. He was, and I, you know, that's where that documentary has come good for Mikel, because all of a sudden you think, do you know what? Now I'm in the dressing room. If things ain't going well, I know that he'd be in there giving him a rollicking, like, you know, because I've seen it. You know, that game against Man City, he come in and he was fuming, you know, because he actually said to him, I told you exactly what was going to happen. And we was all saying the same. So, you know, and I think that's where I do think that with everything, that documentary has helped him, because people see what he was doing and having a moan, and you think, you know what? Yes, well done, Mikel, like, you know. And I think that's where that definitely helped him as well.
Just quickly remembered, I think it's 3 years that he's been in the job. So maybe that's why the timing was what it was. So that makes sense.
Yeah. Three years is special, though, is it?
I saw a comment underneath the video, the interview, and someone said, whatever happens with Mikel and Arsenal moving forward, he'll be known as a manager to give Arsenal back to the fans. And I get what that means, because where we was 3 years ago compared to where we are now, I have to give him massive credit, because that was probably the biggest part of the job, just behind winning the league and winning major honours and getting us back up there, connecting the fan base to the club again. And like Lee said, you know, I like a lot more players now than I did 3 years ago. I've got a lot more hope and belief than I did 3 years ago. There's no divine right to win the league, Champions League and so on. Only one team can do that across the competitions. But I want to feel like this every December. I want to feel like this every January, where whether we're 5 points clear or 5 points behind, there's a chance we can do something. Too many years went by before Mikel and during Wenger's years and Emery's, where everything was kind of done and dusted by February, sometimes January, sometimes November, December. It's just about hope and belief and liking what you're seeing.
It is. And I think it's important that we also mention that whilst bringing the fan base together and us enjoying our team again is really important. It's essential. Ultimately, he'll be judged on results and trophies, as he should be, because there's another manager that also has brought a fan base together recently who's been battered for the last 3 weeks about his performances for the national team. And I would argue that Gareth Southgate's body of work for England is a better body of work than Arteta's for Arsenal. And he's not getting any credit for what he's doing. So I think it's important that it's important that we acknowledge what he's done for the club in terms of the club and the fan base. Ultimately, we're not here just to kind of sing kumbaya and hold hands and feel good. Arsenal should be winning trophies, or at the bare minimum, as we've always said, competitive for major trophies. At the bare minimum, Arteta needs to make us competitive. And that's ultimately what he'll be judged by and what he should be judged by.
Yeah, I agree. We had a friendly the other day against Luton behind closed doors, ended 0-0. No, but
didn't see it.
No one saw it, Jordan. So we're all in the same boat there, mate. No worries about that.
But you have to get over here. I'll get over here.
Behind closed doors. He loves it. He loves it. Yeah. Jordan behind the closed doors.
Saka Martinelli played in that game, though, which is the positive news to take from it. What was you going to say, James?
I think they started.
There you go. So, looking at the World Cup and the impact from it, Jesus, big injury, out for a while. Saliba, not sure how, you know, or when he's going to return if he hasn't already. Today, that'll give him that'll only give him a couple of days. So, I doubt
he has to start. He has to start against West Ham. The pace at which I'm seeing players come back, you know, Rodri was in the starting 11. Who else? De Bruyne, Gundogan.
To be fair, though, they've been back at least a week.
Ake? They were knocked out maybe 2 weeks ago. No, I appreciate, but they've also played a lot more football. So I would argue that, you know, get back, so when was the World Cup final? That was on Sunday. What day is it now? It's that Christmas period where I don't know what the hell's going on. It's Friday today. So it's been 5-6 days since the final. He's had 5-6 days off and he's played 27 minutes of football across the World Cup. I think he's got to play against West Ham personally. I would be quite disappointed. That's not on him. That's not I'm putting pressure on you to turn up. I think I'm more surprised that Ake would have, I think, played every minute of the tournament for the Netherlands, you know, through to the quarterfinals. They played 2 weeks ago and he's back, you know, 12, 13 days later playing in a Carabao Cup tie against Liverpool. That feels quicker to me than, Saliba went all the way, but didn't play. He played 27 minutes and I feel like he should be available. Am I being harsh?
No, I agree.
I know nothing on this.
I agree.
Should have been back a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, Friday's not, you know, he hasn't hardly played. Yeah. And Pepe, he's back training. He's played every single minute.
Yeah, but I don't want to get on Saliba. I mean, I don't know. Like, I genuinely have no idea what the protocol is or what they feel they need and adjustment and all that. I don't know. But
You're being nice there, James. But you're right. I totally agree with you. There's no reason why he shouldn't be starting in that. I can't think of a reason why he shouldn't be starting in that game. The only players that can maybe get a slight extended stay are the players for Argentina. They're the only players for me that I think you can understand Alvarez might not be in the squad for Boxing Day or, you know, Messi. They're the only ones. And even then, if I'm their clubs, I'm saying you've had a week partying, get back to work now. You're not tired because this is the midpoint in the season. This is not a World Cup at the end of a season. Do you know what I mean? This is the midpoint of the season. So, I think if Saliba's not in that team, I'm fuming, but I'm disappointed big time. There's no reason why Saliba, and we need him. Let's have it right. We need all the players that we can get from our first team. So
slightly concerning that the last 180 minutes of friendly football, we haven't put it in the back of the net. Now I was, I think, quite passionately defending, you know, the team when Lee was saying, "Listen, we can't all be saying, oh, momentum's great, we're winning friendlies, and then the minute we lose, it doesn't matter." You know. Two games in a row of not scoring a goal when we're going out with this sort of 11s that we're going out with. Okay. You start to wonder. There's nothing to panic about. But I think you do think, okay. Let's hope we get a goal in that first half against West Ham. That's what I'm saying. Because then otherwise I think then the doubts do start to just slightly creep in. When it gets to that 60th minute, we're like, when did we last score a goal? You know, oh, in Dubai, right? Like, you know, it does. I think it does start to play in your mind. And this is a young team. And I think there's been a fantastic momentum. But let's start really well against West Ham. I know we'll go into the preview stuff in a sec. Because I do think you just don't want that to become, you know, Jesus is injured. We don't score goals. And by the way, we looked really good against Juve and AC Milan and Lyon. But still, let's nip that in the bud quickly.
But we're going to the preview now. We already started. So I'm assuming by the conversation we're having so far, in terms of lineup, we're looking at Ramsdale. We're looking at Ben White, right back. Saliba, Gabriel, centre backs. Left back, any Zinchenko news?
No, where is he?
I'm telling you, I told you a few weeks ago, it's concerning.
Should we just address this quickly for a second? We're talking about a guy who's injured. So I mean, you know, who knows?
Injured while there's been no football.
Listen, first and foremost, like, you know, I want him to be back and I hope he's all right and back soon. But it does raise a question why, it's not a Zinchenko thing, why Arsenal do seem to go through periods of time where fans don't really know what's going on with the fitness of certain players. Now, I don't really mind if you're trying to keep the opposition guessing, like, will he be back? Will he, you know, will he not? And then he is. And then it's like, you know, that I kind of get. But when it's like, well, Zinchenko, you know, should be a couple of weeks and he's out a month. Well, Smith Rowe, we didn't quite know what was going on with him. And suddenly he needs an operation. Tomiyasu was out for ages and we had no idea why. Like, these are very weird things. I don't actually know if keeping it secret does the club many favours. I think they think it gives them this kind of advantage. Well, I don't know what they think, but I don't think it is an advantage. All the opposition don't know if Tomiyasu is going to be available. I don't know if it does. I think ultimately he's been out for 2 months. Just tell us it's going to be another two. What do you guys think of it? I just think it's strange. We don't know anything about Zinchenko.
Well, the Zinchenko one worries me. You know, how can you get injured when you're not playing games of football? That is a worry. You know what I mean? It's a worry. I don't care.
He has been training.
He has been training now. He's back in training now. But what also it would do for me, worries me how the team morale and balance go there. Because you've got someone like Tierney, for instance, who's done really, really well. By the way, didn't play against Luton. I don't know if that was a precaution or he's injured as well. Like, but if you're playing week in, week out, doing all the stuff in Dubai and all that, and someone just keeps coming back in the team, right, you're getting left out, comes back in the team. Let's face it, you know, Tomiyasu was in that position and all of a sudden he comes back and he's in that position, plays one game, which was the last game, and then he's let out again. He's not back in there again. All of a sudden you start getting a little bit like restless, you know, teeny bit, hold on a minute. This is not right. So I think, injury issues have got to be addressed. Tomiyasu, you know, the last time I see him, he was playing for Japan. Hasn't kicked a ball since. I don't know how long ago they were out of the World Cup, but that ain't right. That's not right. You know what I mean? Like, you know, for me, if you're not fit for Arsenal, you should not be available on an international stage. So if you've gone out there in the World Cup, you've declared yourself fit, you get yourself back here and declare yourself bloody fit as well. Because I tell you that now, Japan ain't paying him his wages. We are. So where is he? And I've just been a little bit frustrated with this and all that, like, you know. Too many of them. Shinchenko, you know, you can bring in Tierney into that mould as well, like, you know, I mean, if you want to. Tomiyasu, who hasn't played hardly at all, you know. And to be honest, come in and when he has played, he's played left back, leaving out a fully fit left back. So I do worry about those sort of things. That get yourselves fit and maybe... They're looking at them, just keeping them precautions so that they can be not rushing them back. Like, you know, the Smith Rowe one, I'm going to say this now, the biggest disappointment for me of this, what the pre-season friendlies or these friendlies and all that, is that I've not seen his name on those games
once.
So when does he come back and play for Arsenal? Against Tottenham away, is that his first game? Manchester United at home, is that his Newcastle, Manchester City? You know, he has got to be on that team sheet for that Charlton game. For the Oxford game. He has got to be on that. You know what I mean? Otherwise, you know, when this is a worry for me, like, you know, a big, big worry, you know. Like,
yeah.
That is a worry for me.
But sorry to cut you out.
No.
Yeah. But it's more my frustration. Look, am I frustrated at players that are injured? Yeah, but it's not their fault. And it happens in football. The frustration is how little we know about it. And I guess my big question is, is there a benefit for the club to us not knowing about it? If there is, then you know what? We get on with it and we know we need depth anyway. But I just don't know what us being kept so in the dark, unless they really just don't know much. Unless Zinchenko was meant to be fit and has had setbacks. And I think Arteta alluded to a Smith-Rowe mini setback, but said he's very, very close. I mean, that's all great. But I think, you know, I remember even we used to have all sorts of injuries, like 2010 times. We, you know, Fabregas, Van Persie, always injured, right? But I think we largely knew when they were expected to come back. Yeah, they even had on the website, they had an injury list section. You know, it did.
Which in itself is quite worrying. You've got a whole tab on your website for injuries.
Yeah.
Catch up on the latest injury news. He should be flying in these pre-season games. He should be like, you know, he come back for the last two games. You've had a little rest. You've got a bit of training. He should be flying. He should be. He hasn't played in the World Cup. And he's not there.
So I'm assuming it'll be Tierney. I know Tierney didn't play the other day, but probably that might be hopeful thinking, more precaution due to a lack of Zinchenko and Tomiyasu than it is anything on Tierney. Because I think last time we spoke, and James was the one to watch the Juventus game, he mentioned Tierney was probably the standout one, the one that got credit from him afterwards. So.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so we all assuming Tierney will slot into that position.
Yeah, after
I think it has to be.
Than that, is there any other? Is there much conversation moving up the pitch? I mean, Partey, Xhaka, and Odegaard picked themselves, and you have Saka, Martinelli either side of now Eddie and Nketiah.
My biggest concern is the bench. Going to be weak, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think the starting 11 definitely is as you described there, Turkish. I think though this is a must-win game. And that sounds a little bit dramatic to say at this point. It's a must-win. The reason why it's a must-win is because everybody is looking at Arsenal now to collapse. Everyone. Your momentum's been broken. Your main striker up top's out. If Arsenal don't win this game, it just gives the opposition that, here we go. But also, I think our own confidence could be shattered. Do you know what I mean? Hang on a minute. Are we that good? No, Jesus, can we score the goals? We have to win this game. We have to. And this isn't, for me, one of those games where I talk about normally where performances actually matter and important. It doesn't matter. Just win the game. This is, even if you lose the next game, this is a game where at least you could say, off the back of the World Cup, without Jesus, we can actually still manage and we can still cope. We have to win this game. Yeah.
I can't have it will be the media all coming together like the Avengers. If Arsenal drop points home to West Ham, I'll be like, ha, we told you, the World Cup. But, I just can't. I don't have time for it.
It's a must win.
It's a West Ham team that
isn't great.
You know, this season's been their worst starts for at least a few seasons. A lot of question marks around them. I spoke to Dan on Box to Box. That's out tomorrow. And he mentions how Moyes is, you know, he hasn't really bedded in the new players that have come in over the summer well enough. You couple that up with where they are in the league, lack of goals. And Dan actually predicted a 3-0 win for Arsenal. And Dan's usually very confident about these sorts of games. And he'll never usually predict a scoreline like that. So that speaks volumes for where West Ham are at the moment. Declan Rice, he took a week holiday after England's exit. Paqueta, I'm not sure if he's back there ready. Magued's another player who had a good World Cup, but will he be ready for the game? Not too sure. So you look at the opposition, and Jordan's right. It's harsh saying must win, but essentially it is, because it's the new benchmark. It's the one everyone's looking at right now. Even Manchester City in particular, they're looking at it to see whether Arsenal can cope without Eddie, and whether they can still get the results needed. If I look at last season, I'm confident off the back of that, because with Lacazette up top, with Eddie up top, we still managed to win the majority of games that we had against teams we should be winning against, if that makes sense. The Wolves, home and away, Aston Villa. I know at the end of the season, Southampton and Brighton and Crystal Palace, that throws a spanner in the works there. But aside from that end to it after the international break, we won the majority of games we should be winning. That was without a Jesus. That was without a Zinchenko, or we won't have him anyway. But that was to 8 months ago now.
No, you're right. We're a better team now. West Ham will be up for it because they'll be looking to get a scalp. I know it sounds weird saying to Premier League, but they'll be looking to beat the league leaders to get their season up and running. So they'll be up for it. We can't take it slightly. This is a must win for us. And my second point was going to be, oh yeah, the 5-point lead. We've got a 5-point cushion. We have to try and keep that cushion for as long as possible. And if we can get to maybe when James is back and still have somewhere near a 5-point lead, we're rocking and rolling. What I don't want to do and what I'm really fearful of is that 5-point lead is wiped out come the end of January. We get to the end of January and we're second, a point behind City, or we're third, a point behind top. Do you know what I mean? We've got a cushion. We've got to try and maintain that cushion for me for as long as possible.
I agree. So lineup pretty much picks itself aside from that left back position. Interesting to see what happens there. Prediction time. Shall I bring up the league table?
I missed this.
A lot earlier than this, so I have to say, like, you know.
Look how you waiting there with your Santa's hat on, man. Give it a rest, mate.
Oh, there we go. Like,
yeah. There is the table. Lee is top on 90.
Before we go into the table, I haven't checked my bank account. Is all the money gone in there?
Oh, shit.
No.
I forgot about that, yeah. I'll send today.
Basically, it's been like since Sunday, 6 days, and I'm still waiting, like, yeah.
And you will be for a bit longer.
Oh, thank you very much, James.
No worries, mate. I love you, mate.
No cost of living crisis out here, mate. You know what I mean? I ain't got no lights. It's tough times out here, Lee. You know, give me a break.
Yeah. I tell you what, there's light when it goes around his guilt rings, haven't there? Like, I'm just saying that. Everything's on when he goes around there. I'm just saying that.
I'm sending it to you right now, Lee, so I don't forget because.
Ah, Turkish, you're an absolute star, like, you know what I mean? So,
no worries. For the listeners,
you said mine, please.
You're what, mate? You haven't won a thing since you've been here.
No, my 20 quid for Lee.
Oh, yours as well. Listen, I'm not a rich man, mate. I'm not a rich man. For the listeners on audio platforms, Lee is top 19 points. I'm in second place, 18 points. James in third, 17 points, and Jordan bottom fourth, 14 points. Some way off.
I maintain that it's very impressive that Jordan has 14 points, having never got a correct score. I'm not even trolled. I mean,
good result.
It's true.
You're getting the majority of results. You must be to be even be within touching.
Yeah. I think I've only got one right. It's been difficult to predict the actual score. Right. I think the scoreline's very, very difficult to predict.
Palace 2-0 is the only one I got right, and that was the start of the season. So been downhill since then.
There you go, mate. £20 sent.
Thank you very much, Sergeish. I've always said you're my favourite.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I've got a few comments I need to read.
I've heard that before.
Well, as I'm leaving,
we're doing predictions first.
A while, wasn't it? I have to go first, don't I? Like, you know what I mean? So, 2-0 to the Arsenal, Turkish.
2-0 to the Arsenal. That's all right, because I'm going 3-1 Arsenal. So, we've got something different there. Back to the 3-1s. Who's next, James?
1-0 to the Arsenal. That's me. That's what I'm going for. It's a nice 1-0.
Here he comes out, Mr. Doom and Gloom. Like, yeah, I mean, just remember, Jordan, it's Christmas, like, yeah.
So we've got a 2-0 from me. We've got 3-1 from me, and we've got a 1-0 from James. Jordan, I think we should go 2-0.
Because it's Christmas, Lee, and I want to be I want to be quite cheery. I'm not going to go for a West Ham win. I'll go for a draw. And it will be no joke. I'm joking. I'll go for an Arsenal win.
One nil.
Yeah.
We've got a chance, Turkish.
We're in it to win it, Lee.
Sorry, mate.
James is gutted. Last minute penalty missed.
Just walk up to me and slap me in the office. That would have been less painful than picking the same score.
Sorry, mate. I'm so sorry.
It's fine.
Something we do know, it's not going to be 1-0 after that.
Yeah. The minute we go 1-0 up, I'll be like, yeah. Oh, no.
Even if it's the second goal's coming. Don't worry. It's not staying this way.
Yeah.
All right, let me take the league table off the screen. Have we got our comments of the day ready?
Yes.
Let's go. Who's starting it off?
Gonley.
I'll go first. From Callum Olsen. I've never seen him play, but Maradona is my favourite player. You know,
who said that?
Callum Foster amongst us. I think that is absolutely brilliant. I don't know who he's talking about. I'll have to, you know. I've never seen him play, but Maradona is my favourite player. Brilliant. Absolutely. That is the sort of comments we want. Very, very funny, witty, and to the point.
Yeah.
That's a Muppet. Stupid. I can use it like a player you've never seen him play.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. I'll go next. AFC Max says, well, if Jordan comes in grouchy next podcast, we know that something went wrong after applying the lip gloss.
I didn't see that one. As you remember from the start of this podcast, I had a smile on my face.
But you're back home, so we don't know what went on.
She kicked me out.
Let's hope it was for your snoring. That's all I'm saying.
Go on, who's next, James?
Yeah, so there's two. Eric says that Lee and James tension is building up every day. He's absolutely right. What's that?
Can we discuss this before you go any further? I've noticed there has been a little bit of tension between you two guys. And me and Turkish got to intervene after we finished recording. Have we got to have a word? A team meeting, a Christmas dinner out, a couple of drinks. You two have been a bit.
Listen, Potter and Voldemort have a lot to get over.
There's a rivalry. There's a rivalry. Like, I can't lie. You know what I mean? There's
we just don't like each other very much.
No, we have to. We just don't. Yeah, I have to admit, like, no, I know it's Christmas, but I haven't sent him a card, present, nothing like that. You know, there you go. So
I haven't sent him 20 quid.
That just about says it all, that does, doesn't it? Like, you
know, I have no interest in it. In fact, my
when
second
I come
comment,
in the office, I come in the office, I go, morning, Turkish, morning, Robbie, morning, Laurie. All right, James.
All right, James.
Yeah, if I'm lucky. Then there's it from Darren says, not only does James owe Lee 20 quid, he also owes Lee an apology for calling him a quote miserable bastard for getting on at Eddie and then 30 seconds later admitting, yeah, it was a bad miss.
Yeah,
about that.
I think that's where the tensions come from. See, people have not sussed on that you don't like me, like, you know, so
it's been building for years, Lee.
It's been building.
I'll wrap up. I've got two. Jordan applying lip gloss is like the Dharma Tauri.
You're wrapping up. I thought you'd done that the night before. Like, I mean,
you watch your mouth, you dirty.
Sorry, Jordan, start again.
Interrupted there rudely by my fellow contributor.
This is why I don't like him. Carry on.
I'm with you. I'm Team James. Jordan applying lip gloss. It's like Adama Traore applying baby oil. Came in from Harry. I like that one there as well. There was a lot of lip gloss there. And the other one I liked, which was on the comments, was what a show! I've never seen such magic. And hands down, the best of them all is Sir Lee Judges. Such grace, such intelligence, and the following IQ bar is bar none the best I've heard in a while. Charismatic, charming, and says it like it is. Even if he hasn't seen what he's referring to, that takes skill. Without him, the show would probably never make it. So let's all give him a standing ovation for Sir Lee Judges, possibly the greatest Arsenal fan ever. Hope I covered everything, Lee. He paid me 60 quid. Nice.
Was that from James? Mum, was it?
Stop talking, Lee. This is why I don't like you. You're ruining the comment. Carry on, Jordan.
Hope I covered everything, Lee. He paid me that 60 quid he won off you guys to say that. Oh, come on, you Gunners for life. That was from JKL Visions. A lovely message, Lee.
Thank you. You've got a fan.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Like, James is just choking on his coffee there. Just so, like, he's grinding his coffee beans as we talk, like, you know. So,
honestly.
Cool. Oh, shit, it's an hour 7 minutes. Our longest ever forever Arsenal. Whoa.
Goes quick, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I have to say, they go quick, these. I have to say. Really,
can I just say, the less football we all watch, the more we have to say.
Yeah.
It's mad.
We could watch a six-goal thriller and we'd all sort of get this done in 55 minutes. But when there's absolutely nothing to watch, it just goes a bit longer. Now no one's watched any football. We're at a minute seven, so an hour seven. So well done.
Hour seven, yeah. But all predictions are in. All comments are in. People, keep on leaving us your comments. Obviously, the Premier League is back, so give us your predictions, thoughts on the lineup, the left-back situation at this current time. Who do you think is going to start? Let us know your thoughts on the pod. Get your comments of the day. Or comments of the day potentials in for the next show. We'll be back after the West Ham game, before the Brighton game next week. So probably Wednesday, Thursday, you'll see us next, people. So make sure you're subscribed. Make sure the notification bell is on. Make sure you hit the like button. Let's get it up to 1,000. It's become somewhat of the norm on this show as well, which I love. It matters to us. So hit the like button, people. Love for the love.
Christmas.
And we're all out.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Everybody watching, Merry Christmas. And also to you, James, you have a nice one.
Thanks, Lee.
You have a nice one. Enjoy, people. Enjoy. Love for the love. We are. Sports Social Podcast Network.